Okay, good morning. This is a meeting of the Cambridge Pool and Conduit Commission. Today's Thursday, June 20th. It's approximately 10 a.m. We're at the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, conference room level. Before you today are Stephen Lankowska, City Electrician, Terrence James Shea, Superintendent of Streets, and myself, Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Chair for the Commission. We are being audio recorded today. For the record, petitions number 4 and 7 is listed on the agenda were withdrawn by the applicant after the posting of the agenda and prior to this meeting. With that said, are there any residents here that would like to speak on any petitions? Which one, sir?
1 and 2, John Grossman.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so that doesn't change then our process then. We'll start with number 1. It's a new petition, Cambridge Network Solutions at 30 for Pacific Street, starting at Eversource Manhole 1228 on Pacific Street, and install 1,105 feet of fiber optic cable in southerly direction, continuing 1,340 feet easterly on Albany Street and continuing 92 feet southerly of Eversource 3498. No excavation, and then starting at manhole 3498 on Mass Ave, and trench and install 1 4-inch conduit easterly, 15 feet to level 3 manhole number 0515-2604, and place 1 3x3 CNS manhole in between. So if you also want to come up and take a seat, thank you. And good morning. Could you please state and spell your name?
Absolutely.
For the record?
Good morning. Jeff, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Thank you.
And Cambridge Networks.
Donald Grossman, 179 Sydney, G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N, first name Donald.
I'm sorry, you said 179?
Sydney.
Thank you. Why don't we have Mr. Harrington first present, and then we'll
sure.
hear you out, Mr. Grossman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, as you mentioned, 1 and 2, we'll speak just to 1 for now, but they are sort of tied together. We thought it would be easier to break them apart.
So let's call number 2 as well as viewpoint application 49842, and then I will not read the street follow through. We'll just say it's on the agenda.
That's fine. We Cambridge Network Solutions has a customer at both 130 Brookline Street and 40 Erie Street, and that's where we are trying to get to. At the end of this project, our nearest backbone cable is in the level 3 system that is out on Mass Ave and Albany Street. So what we're looking to try to do is make a connection from those two buildings back to our network at Mass and Albany Street. What we're trying to do is utilize existing conduit as much as we can to eliminate installing new trenching. So the first request is to lease existing Eversource conduit that we have a license. The license has been uploaded. To pull a cable that will allow us not to have to do any excavation, simply place a cable within the Eversource system. However, at the very end, at the corner of Mass Ave and Albany Street, in order to excavate out of the Eversource and tie into our level 3 system, we have to create a connection. And part of the requirements when you're going from an electric system to a telecommunications system, there has to be some sort of doesn't have to be a manhole per se, it just has to be some sort of change so that it doesn't, if you're rotting, you don't rod from a power manhole into a telecommunications manhole. That is the reason for the structure in between at that location. From that point, we are looking then to license aerial pole line as shown on the map to then feed both of those buildings. Both of those buildings have underground conduits that lead from the last serving poles to the building. We are working on building agreements with both buildings. We have one currently in place at 40 Erie Street. We are still working through the building agreement at 130 Erie Street. 130 Brookline, I apologize, 130 Brookline. And then the plan would be to pull the cable, as others have, through those through that conduit. I believe both of those conduits reside on private way, meaning the pole sits like within there. Area, and then we pull into the building.
Did you receive by any chance Mr. Grossman's email on this issue?
I didn't, but we
okay.
do hire an.
If you can, Mr. This is the email Mr. Grossman sent
Sorry.
Yesterday on the issue.
Okay.
Okay. give you a few minutes.
So should I answer to the question of the,
Yeah, Mr. Grossman, we just gave him the email, but if you want to sort of highlight for the commission your issue.
Yeah, I apologize for not responding. There was actually no contact person that I saw on the notice. It was from, it was from Access, and there was nothing, you know, from Cambridge Networks that showed any point to reach to. And it was also, I don't know what the timing is, but I mean, I only received it a couple of days ago. I don't know whether, you know, there's more time required for notice by you, but I definitely received it, but it was the start of this week, so.
I will certainly have
very little time. So I've been before this group before. My concern is the overhead density in my neighborhood. I included a picture of the pole at the corner of Sydney and Erie, which is one of the poles that you want to go through. It looks, you know, to me like a calamity waiting to happen, but, you know, I don't know if there's even an inventory of by the commission or whether the, you know, proponent is required to get an inventory of what's up there already and, you know, whether there's a structural analysis or some limit to what these poles can support. There are certainly poles in our neighborhood that are leaning and, you know, 10, 20 degrees in some cases. One was replaced along Sydney Street, one of the poles that you're going along. There's a double pole there now because it was replaced on an emergency basis. I believe it was last summer. They shut off our power without notice because it was about to, you know, cause a public safety situation. So anyway, in an effort to try and be constructive, it seems to me that there's generally a lack of coordination. People just, you know, come, put this up, put that up, put the next thing up. And fortuitously at the moment, MIT is installing with Eversource, or Eversource is installing for MIT, conduit up Sydney, across Erie, up Waverly Path, and then on to their new, you know, expanded utility station, their cogeneration station. It seems to me that seeing as you're going along that same route on Pacific Street, that it would make sense to try and coordinate and put conduit in along Waverly Path down to 40 Erie. So instead of running 1,800 feet of overhead aerial in an area that's already congested, you could run 1,200 feet of conduit using the fact that they're already trenching and working in that area. And maybe if you're leasing Eversource conduit already, you can, you know, have Eversource throw in the conduit and lease that so that there's, you know, some coordination. Anyway, that's my suggestion, trying to be proactive and also trying to get some of this clutter, you know, which is not just visual clutter, but it seems to me to be undermining the reliability of utilities in our neighborhood.
Mr. Harrington?
So I can address, I'll break them up, certainly can address the walkout or the structural. So our responsibility is, as the commission is aware, we have to go to the utilities because we're not a pole owner. So we have to request space from both Verizon, which I believe is one half of the pole owners, and Eversource, who's the other half of the pole owners. I'm not really sure who's responsibility for SAT, but meaning the replacement of the pole. But we actually have to do a application process. Then we have to have a walkout, which we did with their either the designees from their company or their engineering firm. The folks we did was UC Synergetics from Verizon and an actual Eversource rep from Eversource to do a walkout. They then take back the findings of their poll, individual poll survey. which require, you know, they basically check heights, condition, there's a whole list of things that they're supposed to do, and actually we're not privy to all those requirements, and then they spit us back essentially a spreadsheet with a cost to say, you know, for you to get on this pole safely with the proper clearances, this is how much you have to spend. Once we issue that, they have X amount of time for us, for them to complete that work, and then they issue us a license, and we come back to the Pole and Conduit Commission and say, here's our license, we believe we met everything else, please issue us the approval. So at least on our side, what we've tried to do is follow, you know, we're here asking permission for the route to start this conversation. We're trying to go to all the utilities to make sure that, you know, everything that we're looking to hang is correctly done. We're also looking to add it in what's called the power space, or the, it's an ADSS cable, so it will be a little bit more in the sort of just below the electric space, if you will. So that doesn't have a support.
Below the secondary?
Or? Yes, below the secondary is, I believe, the new location. I can get you an exact footage. So just that answers the question about so how we got to this point, and we're not just going to throw it up. I do believe the pole owners have an inventory of who's on the pole, but I don't want to speak for them. But I'm assuming they do, because if everybody goes through that process, they should have a list of, you know, who they're billing annually. As far as the other side of it, you know, certainly we're here enough that I understand what you go through between antennas and everything else. So I certainly don't have an issue with looking into it. I will say this as far as underground. I specifically like underground because it's less apt to things happen. My main concern is really working with timelines, the routes that we sold the customer, meaning sometimes it's diverse from another provider, and then what it's actually going to take to work through an agreement with Eversource to jump in the conduit. And I'll actually, not going to put anybody on the spot, but I'll look for some sort of help to figure out, do you think that's even reasonable to try to say to Eversource, depending on what they've been approved?
Well, you've already approached Eversource for the first petition, right? And that's entirely on the ground.
That's correct, because that's, yes, that's basically following existing sort of fiber paths that
right.
are there.
And if they have space for it, and you already licensed for that?
Yes, that's
so
uploaded,
you have
that's there.
Existing agreement with them?
Yes, sir.
So would you have an existing agreement for the new conduit system that they're putting in now?
So the way it works, to my understanding, and I'll can go back and clarify, if there's an existing fiber, so the fiber that we're sort of called in and over is an existing path that was put in back when it was NSTARCOM or mm-hmm. whatever the different entities were in the past, anything new has to follow a different process with Eversource. So you're basically asking them to take a space of conduit and provide it to a fiber optic company, which there is a process to do that. What my concern is, if this is a new conduit, the first thing I'm going to run into is it's not in the system because it's not built yet. It's almost like asking for something that isn't in the system. Does that, am I saying it the right way? So my concern is I want to make everybody happy, but at the same time I foresee myself being stuck in this limbo position of I'm going to ask for maps, they're going to say this isn't even here yet. Is it owned by MIT or is it owned by Eversource? I think that's my other sort of concern. And then does it actually follow the route? Does it go on any private property? Again, I'm not trying to...
Yeah.
I definitely understand. I'm just trying to call out what we can do. And we certainly look to go underground where we can and not dig, because part of this whole application was not to dig, you know, city streets, was to deal with existing conduit where we could.
I might just add, and the commission's already approved all of the Eversource conduit for MIT. All the records are here. It goes along Waverly Path. I don't know what, I think there's an easement to the city or something for this, or to Eversource for that. So it's just a question of whether, and they're putting in additional conduit beyond what they need for MIT, so the question is whether one of those can be dedicated to fiber or whether they need to, you know, put in one additional conduit. But the marginal cost of doing that, and they have a deadline of getting it done by this fall, I understand. They have to be hooked up.
So maybe if I can make a suggestion, which might make everybody happy, is I certainly, you know, we do more and more work. We certainly want, you know, we're in front of you every month, it seems. And I certainly want to see this gentleman again. What I'd like to do is make a proposal that you were allowed to hang the cable until we can get an agreement with Eversource, and then we will agree to cut the cable over and remove it. And I know people say that and don't do it, but it will be in the legal documents that at least I can meet the timeline of our customer, and then such that I will submit an application to Eversource immediately I'll have access to it, they're here, and then if they allow us to pull the cable and get an agreement, it'll be good, because that'll be nice for me to be able to see how that process goes, and then I could still continue to work on that redesign and make it sure, because my concern is also there's going to be points of where we're probably going to have to dig to come out of wherever EverSource is finishing and then get to the building, because right now, City and Erie, we're going down Erie to get to the building side. We just have to figure out how to get from there to EverSource. So I'm just saying, it's not monumental. It's a smaller task. I mean, it's just another task to get through. But I'm asking if we can somehow, you know, if we don't get the customer hooked up, the revenue obviously helps me to go down this road of removing the cable. I have no issue with going that and stating for the record we'll do it. I just would prefer to have some way to get the customer hooked up, maintain our name, maintain sort of the service date, but then with the, you know, hey, if you don't do this within the next amount of time, you'll never get anything else approved.
So on the underground route, you're going, you're coming down Pacific to Brookline, I believe you are?
Yes, right at the corner of Brookline.
So where are you coming up out of the ground on Brookline?
There's a riser pole right at the intersection.
Right at the corner?
Of Brookline and Pacific, which is, so right now on our plan, we show two poles, an NT, NT, and a 102 over 28. It's 102 over 28. These drawings were done prior to actually having the license. And there is a white mule tape hanging there that you can see if you happen to drive by. This is probably
It's 1228, which is which is one on the opposite side of Brookline.
No, nope, it's 102 over 28, right at the corner of Pacific and Brookline. It's right on Pacific Street, actually.
Right in the corner.
Yes, sir. Right near where that like construction.
So
project.
You're going to rise up there, and then you're going.
Then the proposal was to.
So why are you coming for that route? So that gets you to Brookline Street to feed 130.
That's, it gets me to feed 130 as well as I go down Tudor Street, take a right.
Right, if
and
you were to go, if they go from overhead there. So the section that goes on Pacific is not included in this? It looks like you're coming out of pole, it's not even marked.
I think there's two. I think you have, are you looking at the aerial app? Are you looking at this one?
I'm looking
one,
at the aerial right now.
Right, so yeah. This is the aerial. So I'd be coming
so
out
if
you, of.
If you're coming up at the corner of Pacific and Brookline and you're going down to 130.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why are you going backtracking down Pacific?
Well, it's so it just shows the route of the path. So basically what we look to do is put a splice at pole number 32, and which is at the corner of Tudor and Brookline, mm-hmm. with one leg feeding 130, because 130 is essentially right at the end of that green line. And then the cable continue down Tudor and down to Sydney Street and taking left on Erie to feed 40 Erie Street. So it's just one cable with a splice with a lateral, if you will. Sorry, we probably should have shown that. But this shows the pathway more than the.
And you've done all your survey already with this. With
we've done the walkouts and paid. We do not have a license to be. We do not have a license.
So we don't know what make ready work is needed yet.
We can certainly. I certainly can provide that. We paid the make ready, so yes, we have. The documentation that shows what pole work is going to be done.
So one petition isn't good without the other. I mean, if we could move forward without the underground, but that would only help you out. That won't help you out to hit either location at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we try to do it is there's, you know, there's a lot of coordination with the underground.
Yeah.
So given the fact there's just so much time and so little people, I try to, you know, if I get the underground, I can do the trenching. But yes, you're right. Overall, if you don't get everything, then you're just doing work for nothing. But for me, in trying to manage sort of the project from my side of the house, every little bit you get done, you can move forward with the work that needs to be accomplished for that particular. Because everything is, as you're aware, takes time. Mm-hmm. And then with the holidays and digging, and there's currently, I think, a gas or a sewer project at the corner of Mass Ave. So it's just really trying to take bite-sized chunks of what I can do and actually get it done.
As far as the underground section go, my opinion, I mean, I don't have any, you know, I encourage the, you know, the use of Eversource conduit for your purposes here. The crossover, we would want a city conduit out on Mass Ave.
That's fine. Yeah, that's
Well, then coming down, and then up at Brookline Street.
Can I?
As far as the all the overhead goes, the section that runs between Tudor and Sydney doesn't exist. That there's no overhead there, so that you can't even get there. And it shows here that if you attempted to do a new overhead attachment, that's going to be a trespass on that property. So you can't put the section in.
Okay.
So you have an issue even getting to 40 area from Brookline.
Okay.
I would suggest where these are connected. I mean, you could. Your customer at 130, I wouldn't oppose the overhead between Pacific and 130, but the rest of the overhead I think is subject to. I mean, you don't have a connection as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And I would recommend that you go back to Eversource. They're going right by that 40 area. Pull a riser out of a manhole there, and you could eliminate all this overhead.
That's so application two, isn't it? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff has put together an underground application, right. Looks like, and an overhead application.
Correct.
To feed two customers.
Correct.
Right. But you need both.
Yes.
To hit both.
Yes. Yeah.
But the shorter distance between here, we could approve that, or we could. I'd make a recommendation. We could approve that to go from. We rise up on Brookline Street to continue on Brookline Street to 130.
Well, how about this? Maybe if I can meet. Eversource is digging, just want to make sure I understand it, down Erie Street right now?
Eversource is here. Why don't we call Eversource up? Eversource? You ladies can have these two chairs. You get the.
I'm sorry, I can't get up.
No, that's fine. They can take these two comfy chairs over here if they want. And just for the record, your name?
Hello. Susan Barroso, Barroso.
Jackie Duffy.
Thank you. Duffy. Are you aware of the progress on what you're doing on Erie Street at this point?
Well, I'm aware of ours, what we do for MIT, yes.
So where are you at this point?
Well, we are installing the manholes and conduits, but I didn't know that we had to install extras for the fiber.
No, we haven't asked yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I think it just came up because we just asked for aerial. So we're dealing with your aerial third-party attachment group. Nothing about conduit on this phase. So I want to get it.
Yeah, I guess my question is, do you know the progress? I mean, because he's mentioning that Eversource has a new process. I'm not sure if you're aware of your process as to when they ask, because I know it's very siloed over there, but I'm wondering what the progress is right now on the ground for Eversource, meaning how much time he would have to ask Eversource, or are you guys ready to close up?
We usually don't let other utilities to come in our manholes and conduits, so I'm not sure if this is even possible, to be honest with you, but I can take the sketch back and look at it.
But they're just starting the construction, or they're in the middle of.
We are, all the manholes are in, and I believe the conduits are in the process of being put in.
And it's going from Erie Street down towards Sydney Street?
It's starting at Mass Ave, probably at the same manhole that you are coming out of a Mass Ave. It's going down Albany to cross, up Puritan to the path, right to Erie where you're going, Erie to Sydney to Putnam, all the way to the Putnam Station.
So maybe Comcast or Verizon can also put those conduits in. I'm not sure if they're putting any conduits in then.
Well, they're in your system now.
Okay.
If you have available conduit, you have to lease it to them.
Okay.
Okay, let me, if I may, if you could see yourself, if we could approve the underground, what I'll do is take this whole thing back and I'll go out and walk the route. I'll be in touch with our third-party rep for the conduit. And see if I can put together a plan that takes this gentleman's concern as well as timelines, and then come back if I can just continue the aerial piece and promise to come back with something that hopefully keeps everybody's interest at, you know, at heart, meaning we follow the real the process that we have to with Eversource and or Verizon, try to eliminate another cable wherever we can and deal with this issue of the crossing. The piece that you called out at the corner of the city and Tudor Street. Thank you.
Well, I think that both of them could be joint. I mean, if they have available conduit, which they should have available conduit, if you could pick it up at the pathway at Pacific, you could then run, you could come out of there and go, you could, if there was a crossover at the path, you could go down to the end of Brookline Street and that same conduit come up overhead to 130, and then at that same point you could go to their new route all the way to Erie.
And where's the path? You said pathway?
The path. It's
Waverly Path.
It's Waverly Path. It used to be Waverly Street, and it runs between Pacific and Erie.
I can send you our sketch.
Oh, that would be great, because if you don't mind doing that.
So whoever your rep is or whoever you deal with when you're leasing
you
conduit.
Not
Billy Finn on one side,
yeah,
and
okay,
then
I know him.
There's another gentleman that's in the third-party licensing. Billy doesn't do the, he's sort of our field engineer, but I have to deal with, I want to say it's Ron, I believe, in the licensing side of it.
I mean, we could, you know, we could consider approving the underground route and consider the overhead to 130, but if some of this may change, if Eversource wants you in the new duct bank, not in the old duct bank, as one continuous.
I would say that I bet you they like to keep the fiber together.
Yeah.
So what they will probably do is look to have it sort of.
So there's an existing fiber conduit in the old duct bank.
Correct. And the old and the in the system that I found.
Yeah.
There's an existing fiber. They like to keep fiber with fiber, so because you know already been set aside.
Yeah.
On the new duct banks, basically what it is my understanding again could be completely off base, but it's basically a review of how much is their capacity. What's design, what's future?
12.5 inch.
No, I know. I'm just saying this particular one, but in areas in Boston, there could be one left,
and
it could be the only spare that feeds a hospital, and you're not going to give it up, which I wouldn't either. My point is, I think it just has to go through that process, and then someone's going to say, this 12.5 inch shouldn't be an issue, or maybe they say, it's a substation run, and we can't. I don't know. I'll have to ask that question. But I think I'll redo the aerial. But at least if I can get the underground, then at least I can work on getting the tremendous amount of legwork I have to do to get the trench done before the winter. I'm also worried as this drags on before the winter starts to come close. I'm going to lose some time with, obviously, the 4th of July. I'm assuming we're not going to want to do anything. It shows for me, to my customer, that we're getting something accomplished. It also, worst case, even if you say no to 40 Erie, and I have to come up with something completely different, I can always resubmit the application for 130 Brookline and at least keep that customer. So if you could see a way to approve that one, I will certainly go back to the drawing board and come back with something that makes sense.
So how about we, I'm sorry, TJ, do you have anything on either of these?
No, just the Albany work at Mass Ave. You'd have to coordinate that with Eversource because they're paving Mass Ave this fall.
Okay.
So
yeah, it was Bond Brothers, I think, was doing it when I was out there looking at it. So we'll make sure, you know, my assumption will be either we'll be there first or we'll be there whenever they don't want us there and whether you want us there.
Right.
We did reach out to Mr. Alameda already.
Yeah.
I had the contractor just to sort of ask some questions. That's how we knew. So we've at least tried to understand.
Yep.
It's a tough area. The good news is we only have a small area because we're only going that small distance.
Right.
So how about we grant with typical conditions number one, and then continue number two, and then provide him the opportunity to amend it prior to the next hearing, hopefully after talking with Eversource, rather than filing a new application, just amend the current application with a new plan if that's the case.
I'd agree to that.
It's fine.
All right.
The motion would be to approve the, was it the first petition?
Yes.
Number one?
Yep, number one.
With typical conditions. So that's all the underground. So the only excavation that entails is out of Mass Ave.
Mass and Albany.
Right, and I'm going to
cross over, and we want a city conduit in there. Because we have a city conduit in that new run also. the one that's being built.
The revised plan, sorry, has already been uploaded to include that city shadow conduit.
Okay.
And will just you, for the record, your name?
Bill Conway.
Thank you. Okay, so number one granted with typical conditions and one additional city conduit.
Correct.
Yep. And then, yes?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So granted as to that. And then in terms of number two, we continue it.
Yeah.
We'll continue it, and then rather than filing a new application, provided that it does change in terms of what you get with Eversource and whatever, rather than submitting a new application, just amend the application. If obviously there's going to have to be substantive amendments, so when you do, just send it to us and we'll change it on the back end with the new plans and everything. The one thing I would say about the second one is when you change it, you might have different abutters that you need to notify. So you will have to notify any new abutters. And Mr. Harrington, Mr. Grossman, if you can leave us your email, we'll...
It's on my email.
Oh, that's right.
I will give this back to you.
No, you know what? I have a copy of that in my email.
Okay.
We'll just email you the agenda as to when it comes up in case you do want to speak again on
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay?
And the only thing I ask is it may not be next month. I'm just thinking people...
Which is why I said to him that we'll email him so that he doesn't have to come next month.
Hopefully he'll be next month, but I would bet it.
I would take a look at that section on Tudor Street because I don't think you have a connection.
No, that's what I mean. I'm going to look at that.
And any other, I'd like to see any impact of these poles, whether they're going to be changed or what the make ready.
Yes, you need them make ready.
Yeah,
I'll email the make ready.
Yeah. They're going to be out there swapping poles, and those poles are very congested on that ground.
I believe, I'll triple check, because the make ready wasn't huge, and usually if we replace poles, the dollars, because that's why we switched to an ADSS cable, I believe is the reason, because it didn't require height changes for the most part, but I will triple check that. I don't want to speak out of school, but I will send you, I'll make sure I email you, and I'll upload it to the folder, the make ready that we paid. From both utilities.
And the other thing I noticed on your in viewpoint, you did upload the affidavit, but not the actual list of who you notified. Did I miss that? Or
it should be on there. Not all uploaded.
Yeah, it's good. I like to see the list just to make sure that you're in the right area of notification. I know you did. The affidavit's there, but everybody always attaches the actual list.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it was Tom. Mr. Grossman received one, correct?
Yep.
So it would have been, but it's just good to see that we know that even beyond the affidavit that we have names and addresses that we can see. At least I like to see that.
We're going to make sure we change our letterhead to have our phone number.
Yep.
So that way we'll have the phone number.
Person would be even better.
Yep. No, we'll make sure I'll add it. So that's a good takeaway as well.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So on the second petition,
you don't know, just I'll email you. Can you email it? Just say, hey, it's from the meeting, and then I'll email you back everything so you have it all.
Sure.
All right.
All right, thank you.
I'm on the next one, so I just figured, sorry.
And now number three, CNS as well for Main Street at Broadway. And again, for the record, we have Jeff Harrington.
Jeff Harrington, Cambridge Network Solutions. So this this request came to us via one of MIT's design firms, and what they're looking to do is they want access to fiber cable for their new complex that they're building, forgive me, sort of in the Main Street area, between Main Street Memorial Drive area. I guess there's several buildings going up, and they brought conduit, to my understanding, out on their private property as far as near the Wadsworth Street area by Main Street and the Longfellow Bridge Road that crosses over into Boston. They would like someone to take the lead to go from that point out to the level 3 system so that when they get their tenants that are signing on access to fiber for those areas. And my understanding is they've got some pretty large tenants that they're looking to secure, but the problem is they can't secure them unless they can promise them access to fiber, and then none of the utilities will dig into it until they actually have a service order. So it's sort of the chicken with the egg So what they've asked us to do is they realize that we're a little bit different because we do some engineering and some, we have a network, if we would work to help them out. So what I'm asking for in this particular petition is, I've had a site walk just asking for some advice from Steve, this electrician. I'd like to, we've sent out notices to the to other utilities. I'd ask that this be continued to next month to give them the appropriate amount of time to review the request. We have had one person, level three, has got some interest in it, which is good. But we just really want to get this in front of everybody because we also know that that road was just repaved.
Yes.
So, yeah, which, and again, we want to make sure this is not our miss. This is just someone coming. It is what it is. But we just want to be upfront about it. We've made them clear that what's going on. We've had a site walk so they understand the impact of that. We fully expect there may even be a denial or not, but it does, there is a legitimate need for that area. There is a lot of construction. I know there's a lot of planned additional construction with a potential dorm being removed and that turning into something else. So unfortunately, this may be a good time or may not. I'll let the commission decide on that. But right now, you know, it was sort of to bring this to people's attention, let them sort of understand it, get the residents or the, you know, the abutters in that area to sort of bring up some concerns and then let the utilities come back and see if they have interest. And if, you know, our goal is to extend those conduits to the level three manhole. And then if people need them in the future, we'll work with them to utilize them. If the, again, the commission sees fit.
Yeah. That's fine. I think when we met, I believe you were going to check to see what was in the ground there. I mean, how many conduits?
Four four-inch conduits is what they've told me they'd like. I have not seen it, but that's what I was told. Is this
because I don't believe it. I don't. Do you know when it was installed?
Did
they
have
a final location? I mean, did they just put
it
there?
I think they, according to what I've been told, they've been on their private property. I could certainly ask that engineering firm to come to the next meeting.
I would like to know where what's there and where it goes to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and whether it is actually on private property or in
there
the
is a
way.
There is a map, and I know you got 100 emails. I think I sent the correspondence, but I can resend it again to you.
If you could, yeah.
That
it
had
a
like
while back, yeah.
Where it was.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like daisy chains, my understanding, through the park. But I'll certainly get it, and I'll resend it, and then I can ask them to make sure they come. But my understanding is it was put on property, the MIT or whoever that entity is, property.
Okay. So before the next meeting, we should walk this because we won't allow going through. That's CRA property, so I don't even know if we can grant.
Is it CRA on that side? That
yeah.
Path?
Who's, do you mind me asking? CRA?
Cambridge Redevelopment Authority. And plus, this is all new work in the last couple of years. So before the next meeting, we should walk it and come up with an alternative path.
With yourself, sir?
Or Paul Amin or
okay.
Jayden or Anjan, yeah.
Okay, I can do that. I'll send you guys a collective email if that's all right. And
that's
then,
fine.
And the understanding was there would be some pushback. I just, you at least have to start the process
right.
For the conversation and see where it goes to.
Right.
Okay, so continued at the request of the petitioner and also for a walkthrough with DPW for an alternate route.
Do you have a contact with the Redevelopment Authority that I should,
I
you think they should
office.
Be there?
Yeah, let me check and see if we can
if you don't
there.
Mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like it might make sense.
Right. Email me and then I'll...
I will. I'll make sure.
They do have a distinct area out, but I didn't think it included that side. I know it was with...
We looked
on the
at
other
it.
Side, but it...
Our
it
maps
okay.
Showed it.
So
but we'll make sure.
I know we have pedestrian lighting in there that's on us.
Okay.
In the city. So I'm not sure if the path, but regardless, yeah, we should be sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that was a motion to continue?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Number four was withdrawn, and now we're moving to number five, a new petition from Crown Castle for Bent Street and Fifth Street.
Good morning.
Good morning. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Mike Cuccini, B-U-C-C-I-N-I.
Thank you. Right. And this is for new service?
For conduit, yeah. We're extending the current Crown Castle fiber network to service the proposed DAS antennas that were in process of designing and licensing.
So a future small cell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This isn't for small cell itself. This is just for the conduit going to it. It's aerial at fiber pole 37 and then goes buried over to the level 3 manhole. And all the abutters have been notified, and as well as the lead company petition to see if anybody wants to join in the conduit.
Have you received any responses?
No responses.
So I understand that this is not for a small cell, but this is basically to expand the
It's bringing a fiber to it, yeah.
We would like to meet on site to see if there's an alternate corridor, just because you are going near some street trees.
Okay.
And we are concerned about that. Have you investigated any other options?
There is no other available conduit that we could lease. Unfortunately, we have to install a new conduit because of that. When we hit the level 3 manhole, we will be able to, you know, utilize from there.
So from the level 3, you have a 3x3. What's a 3x3 for?
The hand hole in there?
Yeah.
That's going to be for splicing. We can't splice in there.
In the level 3?
In the level 3, they won't allow us, yeah.
So where are you going from either end?
So pole 37, the aerial,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what direction that's coming from, to be honest with you. But once we hit that pole, we'll come down and hit level 3, then we'll be going to the left, whichever direction that is, west, down Bench Street.
So you're going to be looking for new attachments beyond that pole?
At the pole 37, I believe it's already licensed. If it's not, I'll find out what the direction is, whether it's already licensed or in process of licensing.
If you're not already on these poles and you don't have licenses, if you can't get them, then this would be even
more difficult.
Yeah. Motion to continue.
Okay.
So we get a better idea of the route, what the actual utilization of it will be as far as that you can get there, and that this would be a useful route.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other direction, once you get into level 3, sure you have conduit in there already?
Or leasing theirs.
Or leasing theirs?
Yeah.
So you say you can't splice in there, so you need to go somewhere else from there.
Right, so I'm not sure the question. So the splice is going to be in that handhole?
The splice will be in the handhole, so you're running fiber from the handhole into the level 3 manhole, and then where are you going with that cable?
That I'm not sure, but I assume it's to the left.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that you have licensing everywhere, so this is not done without being able to get where you want to go.
Yeah, we definitely have the licenses, or they're in process of getting the licenses.
Yes.
Either way, I'll let you know.
Yeah, because if this involves another dig job somewhere else, I'd just like to make sure that you have your point-to-point and your license, and you can utilize this trench without us approving it and then not being able to be used.
Right, of course.
Okay, cool.
All right. And how about the site meet? How do you work that?
You can email myself. We can set it up.
Okay.
Okay, so continue to ensure what the connection's for and also for
alternate.
The route.
Yeah.
Or that this route will be utilized so they have a full.
So basically just look back and come up with the whole. I'm sure there's a strand map somewhere that I don't have, but that's showing where it's coming, where it's going.
Exactly.
What we're doing.
That you don't need any other excavation or licensing that might stop you from getting point to point.
Right. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
And moving on to number 6, also a new petition. This one's from Verizon for 3rd Street. Good afternoon, good morning. Could you please state your last name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Ross Bilodeau, representing Verizon New England, R-O-S-S, Last name is B-I-L-O-D-E-A-U.
Sorry, B-I-L-O?
D-E-A-U.
Thank you.
So you're cutting a Y into the existing duct bank? Is that
yes.
What you're doing there? So you're just going straight from the telecom room right out to the duct bank?
Correct.
Typical conditions on this one.
Okay. Okay. So a motion to approve with typical conditions, permitting, utility permit, and you need a meeting with them or just?
No.
No.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Number 7 was withdrawn. Number 8, new petition from NSTAR for Binney Street. Again, for the record, Susan Barroso and Jackie Duffy.
So this is for a temp service for a building? The Volpe Center.
Excavating down the sidewalk?
Yes, yep.
Is there any possibility going within the private property of this instead of down the sidewalk next to those trees?
I believe was a tree there, right? That's the reason we had to move it this
way.
There
are trees in that area.
Yes.
On the private property? Inside the fence line?
Sorry, throw your name for the record.
My name is Sam Aureli, A-U-R-E-L-I, from MIT.
Thank you.
Within the private property in that particular location, the trees, really shouldn't be any trees. I guess coming onto the private property at that point, I don't necessarily any utilities in conflict, whether it's stormwater or I'd have to check.
Yeah, but we can come into the private property as soon as we can.
Right out of the manhole?
Well, we have to come on the short ends of the manhole. So
yeah. Okay.
Yes, but we can come like as soon as we can.
That manhole is. The sidewalk manhole, that's south of the city trees?
Yes, I believe when we picked this manhole was because some other trees were in here, and then we're trying to go around them.
Yeah, there are new trees going in that location.
Yeah, there's two trees right here. They haven't listed.
These are city trees, because the curb line is right there. So those are city trees.
If I see no issue, that we can coordinate with someone being out there.
I think we can coordinate this as soon as we can get onto private property. Yeah. I don't think that's a, because that, it is for the federal Volpe project.
Correct. Right. Oh, they came a little longer. Okay, yeah, because on mine I show it to come. Yeah, that's fine. We can coordinate with someone to be out there and then come into private property as soon as we can.
You put that's a fine. Station out there?
Yeah, we'll be an SC, yes.
And it's a temporary.
Correct. Will be two transformers, one to supply the existing building and one for the temporary construction.
So can we just get the drawing amended to show the pattern?
I think make a motion to approve with the site meeting because you'd want to make sure that route is short enough to accommodate.
So do you want us to do an as-built plan after we figure out or come next month? You know what I'm saying? Like. Until we can figure out when we can go in.
Do you wanna continue it until you go and meet with them?
I think the whole thing is the length of the dig, right?
Yes.
So
if you could just amend this plan to show that it's going within the private property.
Right. If we bring an amended plan next month and if you approve it, then we can get it to go through so he can get his work going.
If we do it another month, because we're already behind. A month behind already.
Or unless we approve it with the condition that no work can be started until you approve the new amended plan.
We could do it that way.
Yeah. Oh, so what are we going to send you a new plan?
So you'd have a site meeting with DPW
okay.
And then you'd submit the plan and he would approve it.
Okay.
Because it may not change.
Right.
You know, there may be no way of getting there other than this.
Well, I also know that a few years ago, Eversource Directional drilled some.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
There was a,
so
yes,
that's
yes.
an option.
Well,
as
that's.
Well?
Oh,
so we're just trying to avoid the tree roots, and I know there's a couple tree hearings out there, but...
Yeah, there's the... We had the tree hearing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did have the tree hearing last week, and I believe there was just one objection to the two city trees that we need to take down, the curb cut. And then we have, I believe we're on for Monday with the city council.
Okay.
But those trees, because of the sidewalk, their roots don't necessarily go too far into the sidewalk because they're really constricted. We are planting new trees along there as part of the plan, the removal of the two trees. We're planting five new trees along that area. And we're restricted because of the sidewalk. We're restricted to how big of a root ball can go in there.
Well, can we approve it based on the approved plan and the walk of the city arborist?
We could motion to approve with the submission of an amended print after approved by the city arborist and public works.
Okay, so grant of typical conditions and contingent upon
approval by DPW and the city arborist.
Approval of roof, right?
Approved.
Yes.
So have a site meet? You want a site meeting?
Yes. We're just looking to have you get in the private property as soon as you can out of the manhole.
Make sure that I'm on at that meeting as well.
If there's something on your property too that you're trying to avoid, I remember.
I know there was something that we're trying to avoid, but...
There's a steel sheeting.
Yes, something like
but
that.
But we feel like there might be enough room.
Well,
for
I don't think it's steel sheeting. I think there... actually, you know what? There is a tree there.
Well, yeah, I remember there was something on your
there
property.
There is a tree because the where we're trying to get in isn't necessarily... We're trying because where the tree is and where the safe station is scheduled to go is on what will not be the federal parcel at the end of the transaction. So we're trying to preserve those trees for now. I think that might be the issue, but we'll have a site walkthrough. We'll
go
through it.
And, for as it's okay, we can come in as soon as we can.
Yeah. Can you come out of the other side of the manhole?
The SE is on this side, so if we go on the other side, that would be way too many 90s.
Can the SE move?
But I think their property starts there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready for the equipment, so everything's poured and.
Okay. So let's do the sidewalk, and then we can come up with a. That's fine.
The next one's also a new petition from NSTAR, and this one is for Hancock Street.
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, this is underground service to
One Hancock.
One Hancock.
Okay.
Just typical conditions we want to meet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, motion to approve with typical conditions.
You just want a site visit.
And a site visit with DPW.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Next petition is for Fulford Street.
The same thing, it's a service upgrade from a pole to an underground.
I didn't realize that's an Eversource gas transmission station. So they're taking the overhead down and going underground?
Yes.
No issues?
No.
Motion to approve typical conditions to the site meeting. You should follow with excavation permit.
Yeah.
Did you say you wanted a site meeting on
yes.
this one too?
Yeah.
Also NSTAR, and this one is for Water Street.
This is to supply a station for MBTI, and the section that we're asking for is Water Street, to put some conduits in there. And all the overhead is going to go away. Those poles are going to go away.
poles are going to be removed?
Yes.
The DPW would like to have more time to review this with our consultant.
Okay.
We would like to continue this. Mm-hmm. We just installed a sanitary force main out there, so I want to make sure we're okay with everything here.
Okay. Okay.
Motion to continue.
Second.
Second in favor.
Aye. Aye.
Next one also NSTAR, and this one is for Jackson Street.
And this is another service upgrade, 200 amps from pole to underground.
No issues.
Motion to
second.
Approve. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Typical?
Typical conditions, yes.
So granted with typical conditions. Next one is also NSTAR, and this one is for Coolidge Hill.
This is the same thing, service upgrade, 400 amps, and will be from the manhole to anthole underground.
For 127.
Coolidge Hill. Mm-hmm.
Actually, went out there this morning.
Yeah. Motion to approve. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. One's also NSTAR, and this one is for Mount Auburn Street.
Yeah. So this is for 137 Mount Auburn Street, the same thing, underground to anthole for a service upgrade.
Yeah. Motion to approve.
Second.
Conditions.
Yeah.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good for us.
Oh.
Thank you. Unless you have more.
Yeah. The half that we
on that desk, we do.
Okay. So now, small cell attachment policy. I heard the audio, and I just wanted to confirm a couple of things. I understand that, Steve, you're being like our point person with the law department on this, so, and I'm sure that both TJ and I can submit our concern to the law department, but since this got approved as a, oh my God.
Interim.
Thank you.
Interim.
As an interim policy.
Yes.
Before I suggest some of the things to the law department, I just wanted to make sure that they weren't, that when you guys approved it as an interim policy, it wasn't for a particular reason. So I don't want to suggest a change that maybe you two are in agreement on. So I'm just going to run through this really quickly.
Sure.
Or just ask you really quickly. So in the application process, just as an FYI, I reviewed what had been put up for consideration. And I also reviewed our current process. And this policy removed the notice to abutters in the application process. It's further down for after the fact, but it's not before the fact. So I'm not sure that that was on purpose. So I just want to confirm that before I flag that for the law department.
Kind of believe that was on purpose.
I think what happened was that and it was the law department had recommended, or in discussion, that the notification prior to the hearing, so we didn't feel as though you needed to notify the abutters twice. So I think what it mentioned was, before it was redlined, was that a notification would be made at the time of application, and then another one at the time of the hearing. So the abutters would be notified of the hearing, but not of the application.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I think that's the way I understood it.
Okay.
But so it's not that they wouldn't be notified, but they would only be notified once.
Okay.
They would be notified of the hearing according to our guidelines that are currently in place.
Okay, but this is my issue with the way that I see that. I have no problem with the abutters being notified once, but if we do it after the applicant, after we tell the applicant, okay, you're scheduled for X whatever, as you know, most of these applications, I mean, we don't get them months in advance. We get them right at the cusp of the cutoff to get on a hearing, which means that the abutters, and this is certified mail, and even though certified mail is supposed to act as all other mail, it always takes longer to get to people. I don't understand why, but it does. The abutters could possibly not get notice in time to attend the hearing. So we would have to, for this to work, we would have to make the small set. So let's say we meet every third Thursday. We would have to make the first of the week our cutoff
deadline
for them to notify abutters, and abutters have sufficient time to change their schedules or to even submit to us any input on these applications.
I think the question was that when they notified abutters, they would not be notifying them of a hearing date, because the application wouldn't have one, because the application wouldn't have been approved yet.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is we would have to change the cutoff date for this to work,
it's
written.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know, the second week is our cutoff date to get your petition on this month's agenda, we'd have to make that, you know, sort of basically the first day of the month. So they would have to be due. So if they want to be heard in July, so July 1st is the cutoff date. For that to work in terms of giving, one, the utility enough time, and two, giving the abutters enough time.
How much time is needed, do you think?
Well, in theory, mail's supposed to take 3 days. So if I mail you something today, you should have it at the latest 3 days from today. Certified mail, for some reason, doesn't always work that way. But even if that's the case, even if it does work that way, our cutoff right now would be, they would get the notice maybe Wednesday, yesterday. To show up the next day. So anyway, okay. This other thing, and I don't know if you guys read this or if you agree to it on purpose, but I have a big issue with the commission chair making the determination of the completeness of the application. Changes our process completely. Also, it puts us in a bind because I can't speak to either of you outside of a meeting as to whether or not everything you need on an application. And quite frankly, I don't have the expertise, and I would venture to say that no one sitting in my position in the last 15 years has had the expertise of DPW or a city electrician to be able to determine whether the application is complete or not. I think our licensing staff right now reviews an application and sort of does the checkbox in terms of the attachments that we require, and I think that has to change to that as well, because the way the rest of this reads is, I think, for me, I have a big issue because it's, you know, the incompleteness and the 30 days. And I know Extenet brought this up, and I think other people brought this up as well in terms of incomplete and what that does for their application or not. I think administratively an application can be deemed complete, but I think most of the times it's not until we're here in front of people and talking to the petitioners that we find out whether DPW has an issue, city has an issue, or in some other term, have an issue. And I think calling it a complete application and then bombarding them at a hearing saying it's not complete, I think this binds us. So I have a big issue with that throughout the policy. So I'm just...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Everywhere where it says that the chair has the sole discretion, I have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to flag that out for the law department, just as an FYI.
I know, TJ, you brought it up about expanding this commission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To maybe more than just the three of us, because it's tough, you know, to make it, no discussion can
happen without a public meeting.
Yeah.
Because of the, because there's only three of us.
Yeah. So five. It has to be. It has to be a. Yeah. But who would the other two be?
I would say the law department and maybe either community development or historical. That would be my three recommendations. You know, two of the three.
Yeah.
Because that's all they are all involved in, have been all involved in this process of small cells.
And you think that that would be necessary for just small cell or for all pole and conduit commission?
I would say all. Make it the commission.
Yeah.
You know, whether they show up or need to show up at, you know, at a pole and conduit meeting that doesn't have a small cell application, it's, you know, we would still have a quorum.
Yeah.
And we would not interrupt things. But I think, you know, with development and the views of the council now, the way they're looking at, you know, development, that I think it may be advantageous to have someone from community development, historical, or the law department.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
Great idea.
Yeah. Good job. The content of the applications, there's a whole bunch of stuff here, and I know that a lot of people gave input on this, but I did have a question for F. It talks about cellular coverage. If I am not wrong, the small cell installations don't always have to do with cellular coverage. Is that correct? Do you guys understand that as well, or no? Is it always cellular coverage? No. It's more than that, right?
Well, I believe it's just cellular coverage now.
Okay. Does anyone here know?
Sure. My name's Joe Shannon from Crown Castle, and I think that what small cells are really doing is helping with density. I think what you're getting at is density versus coverage. All of Cambridge has very good coverage. The problem is that we got too many people using the system. That's what small cells are helping, so that if you got one macro tower on the top of the building somewhere that covers the whole city, you might need more people because there's a big line at Starbucks. Or
but
something
is it?
Like that.
But is it just?
It's all
cellular coverage.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But to your point, the coverage versus capacity issue is one that is might be kind of the direction you're going down.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys know if G? So FG, the G says certification by a registered professional engineer that the pole or property will safely support the proposed equipment. Is that also for privately owned? No, right? We're staying out of that completely.
We are out of anything on private property.
Okay, because I saw some private property stuff within here, but I just want to make sure it's clear that we're off private property, correct?
Yeah, just city.
Yeah, it's city owned. It's either
city
owned
or
utility owned.
Something, anything on the public
within the right of way.
Okay, all right, good. And then it was also clarified, I think I heard both of you talk about that, we clarified that this is for both types of installations.
Yes.
It was the law department's recommendation that it be
okay.
All small cell installations.
Okay. And then, do you guys have an opinion, still in that section, in section 2, in N? This says, proof that all other installations by the applicant or parent company which are no longer in use have been removed or turned over to the city, and the annual recertification has been submitted for such installations and fees and fines paid. Why would we want their installations turned over to us? I mean, that's going to increase what we have to do in terms of waste disposal and proper disposal of some materials that might even have stuff that we don't know about.
I think the intent here was if it's a street light,
mm-hmm.
that we would want it turned over to us. Because if, you know, we have a street light there that's operating, they change it to a combination small cell street light. We want it turned over to us so we can maintain the light.
Okay, the street light.
The
but
street light.
The way I read this is when it's talking about installation, it also means like their equipment. I don't want their equipment.
No, 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 we don't want their, no, no.
Like, why would we want their equipment?
No.
No, okay. I just want to make sure.
City's not going in the business of...
Exactly, no, I mean, are you kidding me? Bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
And then I know that this was raised by one of the companies, but I do agree on section 5. In the all installations shall comply with the following requirements. No installation should be located closer than 150 radially. I think this has to be changed completely because there's co-locations. I mean, we're asking them to co-locate and then we're saying don't co-locate here. So I agree that this one should be flagged for the law department.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why, again, I haven't finished reading through all the comments, so I apologize, but the I think it was Extinet, and I apologize if I'm saying the wrong company here, but why cabinet, they keep continue to scratch cabinet out of the policy? Do we know why equipment cabinet? They keep asking for us to delete cabinet throughout, so I didn't know.
Oh, the Extinet kept on asking? Or
yeah.
Someone kept on asking?
Yeah, I think, yeah. But I'm not quite sure why the word cabinet is so offensive throughout. So I didn't understand. I mean, it very well could just be that that's not what they call it, but.
Antenna shroud. I would have to go back and look at my notes. I'm not sure
I've heard this stuff and I couldn't hear a reason why. I do know that some of them file a very extensive memos that I have not finished combing through, so I don't know, but I didn't know if you guys dropped the top of them.
I don't remember him bringing up the word cabinet.
Okay. All right. And I think I have other concerns with health, but those were the ones that I wanted to sort of flag and see whether you guys had an opinion on and if they had been, quote unquote, sort of on purpose. Okay.
You know, part of making it an interim was the understanding that it was going to be a little bit of a work in progress just to fine-tune it, but we needed to get a policy in place to abide by the FCC.
Yeah.
That was the largest push on it to get something.
Yeah, I think in terms of technical stuff, particularly with the application process, I'm really going to push on changes to be made now, and maybe us having a meeting before the July meeting,
mm-hmm.
only because, again, the way, especially if the policy remains in terms of the quote-unquote what happens when we deem it incomplete,
mm-hmm.
I think we're at a very dangerous, and I don't feel comfortable deeming these, whether complete or not, and legally binding us to saying this is a complete application, and then all of a sudden you guys raising something at the hearing, and us not being able to do something about it because of the interim policy and the way that it's written. So I'm really going to push at least on these, and I just wanted to bring that to both of your attention before I do so.
Okay.
All right. With that said, meeting minutes.
Commissioners, would it be inappropriate for me to make one comment?
Nope. Go ahead. You're
Thank
here. You.
You
might as well.
Thank you very much. And I think across the board, we're 1,000 times better. We've all talked about this a bunch of times. I'm thrilled to be out of here and going to be deploying very quickly. And where we are is very good. I think the interim policy is a step in the right direction. There's one change, and Madam Chair, you raised it, so I'm going to point to it specifically about co-location. A major problem with the policy as it is the size of the shroud on the side of the pole. It needs to be larger than what's proposed. What's in the current policy is inconsistent with what the FCC provides for guidance. Extinet and Verizon have both put it in their comments about the size of the pole. We can't co-locate in the size that the current policy has provided. So I think that's something that we should all continue to look at and consider changing.
And Mr. Shannon, just remind me, in the comments that you guys submitted or that the other company submitted, do you know if you identified...
The FCC rule.
Yes. I know you all identified the FCC rule. I think everyone has identified the FCC rule. I meant the size, the actual size. Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right. Moving on, minutes. May 16. When we're all present, I would vote to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And approved they are. Thank you.